Welcome, everybody. And we'll get started in just a minute or two. I know people are still joining, still calling in. Welcome, welcome. Francis just called in, and Josh too. Welcome. Have you back? Just give it another minute or so before we officially get started. Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody, for week six. And as you know, this is not the last call anymore because I've added two more weeks. We'll have a week seven and a week eight, which I'm really excited about. I've been feeling really great about the program as it's been so far. And I know we've all been spending a lot of time with calls, and I've been spending a lot of time prepping for the calls, making sure we have materials, you know, for them and getting those all done and commenting on all of your work and tracking your progress. But it just felt better for me if we did two more weeks, given that I was away for small chunks of time during the 6 weeks. And then also after the 8 weeks are done, we'll be moving into some interviews, bonus interviews I'll be doing with colleagues, which you're welcome to join for free. So I'm really excited about all of that and excited to have a little bit more time with you all to kind of dig deep and clarify these niche projects. So my thought is what we'll do this call is we're just going to focus on the niche projects themselves, and then the next call we'll be moving more specifically into how to promote them, though I imagine that will sort of come up in conversation anyways. So this week is really just all about honing the niche project and making sure we've all got one. And if necessary, honing the little circle too. So just kind of catching everyone up. And one second. Facebook is now making a noise every single time it gives me a status update. Things have been good. I went down to Seattle to do a weekend workshop, which went really well. And really wonderful people, really great. The only downside, the slight tragedy of it was at the end with pay what you can. I thought I'd collected all the envelopes, but it turns out one couple had left an envelope full of $10 $100 bills, so $1,000 in cash for me. And it was gone by the morning. I didn't collect it. I didn't see it on the table. And in the morning it was gone. So it was just $1,000. We're hoping it didn't just get thrown out, but that was a slight bummer. So it's a good reminder to me to actually make sure I really collect all the envelopes at the end. So that was my time in Seattle, but really overall a great time. And so let's start off this call with the usual. So you can comment below. I'm leaving the call-in info up for anyone who needs it on the top. It's just below that. You'll see a comment below. Wins and ahas from the past week. So if you've had any sort of insights or ideas, you've tried something, something's become clear to you, if you want to put your comment. That'd be great. So let's take 3 or 4 minutes and just share our wins and ahas from the last week. Dabney had a really interesting insight. She said, even though I'm defining my niche for my business, I will always have my toe in many waters as I'm passionate about so many things. In short, my whole life doesn't have to be about my niche, message and business. Yes, exactly. You know, I was actually thinking about this the other day, Dabney, of how I think sometimes we resist the idea of niching because, especially as entrepreneurs, our business can become so much of our life. And yet, a business does, our lot, it's this irony that our businesses actually tend to thrive when they're more niche, when they're more focused. So it's, you know, it's easier to come up with a website name, easier to come up with hubs, easier to come up with offers. It's just the business really does tend to thrive on a focus. But our lives don't tend to thrive on monoculture. And so there's this funny balance of, like, the more focused the business is, often the more it thrives, but it's not always just so for our personal lives. So I don't know. That's a constant conundrum, but it can be a real relief when we realize, oh, my business doesn't have to meet all of my needs, which is probably, I don't know, good relationship advice. You know, it's like our primary relationship doesn't have to meet all of our needs. We can get our needs met in a lot of ways outside of our existing relationship and still have that meet some of the more important ones. But so your business is there to meet certain needs for fulfillment and money, but there are a lot of other needs that we have. And if we put so much emphasis on our business to meet all of our needs, I think that may be too much pressure. So that's a great realization. Yeah. Alex says she's feeling a lot less foggy on some of the little circles. That's great. Yeah, man, sometimes just less foggy is awesome in terms of moving forward because, when you're completely foggy, you just can't move at all, and it's really frustrating. So every time the fog clears a little bit, that's great. Jacqueline has launched a niche project in another arena for work, including the ad and venue book. Wow, congratulations. It's exciting. Mike said, I found myself dialoguing or connecting with ideal clients and really dialoguing through this stuff, asking them lots of questions, really found some clarity through those conversations. That's so awesome. I recommend that to everyone. It's one of the core niche projects that I suggest everybody do are these interviews with people who are your ideal clients. It's just so huge. Yvonne, nailed my niche. With the help of the Earth Sisters and 3 feet of snow and water. And God bless you, snow. Yeah, Yvonne, the stuff that's coming through you is just so incredibly inspiring, genuinely. So, yeah. Francis, I'm excited about the blog I'm going to do. Thrilled is putting it mildly. Yay. I think we're probably all very excited for that. Oh, my God. Kenton saying I found $1,000 the other day. Oh, wait. Did you actually find $1,000 or are you joking? Cruel. Wonderful. Debbie saying a mentor who laid some of the groundwork for one of our current niche project ideas gave it a thumbs up. Encouragement to move forward. That feels really good. Simon saying the idea of experimenting makes it so much easier. Totally. Yeah. I think if we look at our niche projects as tiny little experiments, which is why it's this idea of a niche project, something tiny, something small, we can fiddle with, because if we think about it as rebranding our business and picking a niche for a whole business in our life, it's really stressful. But if we can approach it as like, especially I think if we're really fuzzy, I think maybe, I've never thought about this before, but kind of speaking out loud, that the more fuzzy we are, I think sometimes the smaller and faster a niche project we need to try, just to get into action and try something. So if you're feeling really fuzzy, tiny niche projects, like make one video, do one blog post, something small that can let you try and move and get immediate feedback. Josh is saying, I realized I was doing market research on people who weren't ready for my niche project. Good to know. That's really good to know. Oh, Beth had a, wow, this is a great idea for everybody. Beth said, I dug out and am delving into my old journals from a decade ago to reconnect with my feelings as I was exploring my spiritual calling so I can understand more what my niche client might be feeling now. Wow, that is such a great idea. Literally going to the younger version of yourself and seeing what you wrote. That's really smart, Beth. Good idea. Joy saying, I'm marketing two workshops, one related to my big circle and a small circle, and the other is a collaboration, and both are getting attendees using niching language. I'm most excited about the collaboration, thinking about it all the time. Yeah, this happens when we get a niche project that's really fits within a little circle, which fits in our big circle. When that's all aligned, there's so many ideas and excitement that comes. Hannah's saying she may have to, might not be ready to delve back into a new niche, a business, and that she might have to get a job. That's totally okay. I think we have to get over this shame sometimes of like that a job is failing, and sometimes it's stability, and that's exactly what we need to get ready. So, and boy, do what you need to do. I think a lot of us sometimes would love to have the stability of a job. Oh, interesting. Josh is saying, I realized that age is not the best way for me to narrow. People don't typically gather based on age. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You know, like certain clubs or restaurants may have to have a certain age range that tends to be drawn to them. But it's always a good question whenever we have demographics, and this is a good thing to bring up. Anytime we have a demographic, it's always good to question why we think we want that demographic. For example, if you think, I just want to, there was one lady who said, I wanted to work just with women. And when my colleague questioned her, I said, well, why? It's like, well, because men are bullies. And she really has this bias against men. And so she said, well, it sounds like what you really want is to be working with people who are collaborative and cooperative and open-minded, you know, and gentle and all this. And it wasn't really about the gender at all, but she just sort of thought women were like that. And so, you know. Similar with age, it might be a question to say, well, what is it about the age that I'm assuming? Like, why do I want this particular age group? And there may be certain things of what we're assuming about where they are in their growth process. So it may, you know, in terms of their business or their life, might be how they see the world. So it's good to ask ourselves with any demographic before we decide that is a limit. And we might want to decide that is a limit, but just to question it a bit and say, well, why do I assume I want that demographic? Megan said, I give 30-minute sessions at a local free holistic healing clinic and found that 3 to 5 people who came to me by chance fit into my little circle, which is new for me as a Vogus. Nice. Joy is getting more highly sensitive people showing up and wanting a workshop. So great. Oh, yay, everybody. Great to hear these good things. And you've all been so good and supportive to each other. It's just wonderful. I'm just going to refresh and see if there's anything more. Ma saying, you know, hard to stop at just one niche project idea. Totally. I get it. Feel free to have more just for this class. Let's focus on one. Are you saying the importance of reaching out for support, patience, and being gentle? Yeah, totally. Yeah, we need each other's support big time. Thanks, everybody. Good to hear some updates and what's up for you. And so, also, before we jump into where you're stuck, let me post this. I'm curious how it was for you to read all the niche projects. So I just love your comments because there was a whole bunch of niche projects. Hopefully you had a chance to delve into some of those and read them. So I'm just curious how that was for you to read all of those. Let's just take a couple of minutes to share that. And I'm curious, you may have chosen not to do one of them, but there may be one that you're like, oh, I'm really excited to try that at some point. I'm just kind of curious what jumped out at you, what, you know, struck you when you were reading those, if anyone's in particular struck you, if something about all of them in general struck you, or the introduction. Yeah, let's just take a couple of minutes. Oh, right. And also curious, I guess, about the interviews, because there was the Alex Baisley, the George Cow, the Rebecca Tracy. I'm curious how those were for you to read those if you had a chance. Yeah, I'd be really curious to hear what you had to say about those. Yeah, I love the idea of you guys doing a weekly charrette or hot seat for somebody. I think that would be amazing. If anyone wants to take that on and organize that, that would just be incredible. There's 50 of you. You could do one a week for the whole year. Be incredible. Yeah, I mean, for sure. But also you can do it locally, those kinds of charrettes. I mean, you can bring people together locally, your friends, your colleagues. Josh, you're down. I knew you'd be down for that. Yeah, feel free to make it happen. This group will be open forever, so yeah. Well, let's just give it one more minute if anyone has any other things you want to share. Yeah, there will be more interviews. I'm going to be doing a ton, like at least 10 interviews around niching, possibly more. I've got so many colleagues I want to talk to who all have really brilliant little pieces to add, so yeah. Ah, yeah, and Dabney, the interviews are in an email. They were sent to you. And will I be picking any of you all to interview? I may indeed be doing some interviews and featuring some of you. And featuring you all in the next product, too, with some of your stuff. Cool. Okay. So thanks for the feedback, everyone. All right, so the next question, of course, is just where are you stuck? So I'm posting that so you can comment below. But yeah, where are you feeling stuck? Where do you, what's feeling hard for you right now? Where are you at? Where do you need help from me or from other people in the group? Let's take a few minutes for this. Okay, let's start going through some of these. So Amber was saying, my niching project ideas all feel too big. Yeah, if they feel too big, I would just think about what a part of it might be. Start with something small. And it's really important, I think, for the niche project that it feels really manageable, that it feels exciting. If it feels too overwhelming, we probably won't do it. And at the same time, somebody was commenting on this in the group a while ago, sometimes it's good if it's a little bit scary, because it probably shows that you're growing and you're stretching yourself. So I wouldn't be afraid if you're a little afraid. But yeah, I hear you. Dabney is saying, not sure if my niche is marketable. Need to go back through the 11-point criteria. Yes, brilliant, Dabney. That will save you so much pain. And it's a drag, by the way. I get it's a drag to have an idea, come up with an idea for a project, and realize it's not a thing that's going to work, but oh my God, it's like the difference between figuring that out now after just a few weeks of thinking versus investing tens of thousands of dollars in a business, getting a bank loan, doing a business plan, you know, and launching it, and then going bankrupt, which so many people do because they never do this. I can't even tell you how many entrepreneurs I see invest so much money, and they've never really asked themselves, is this marketable? Is there a demand for what I'm putting out? Would people want this? Or am I just foisting my ideas and opinions on the world. So good for you. So Alex, you're saying you're a little stuck in the little circles, but you're feeling much more unstuck. Good. Keep working at it. Keep asking for help, and we'll keep doing our best to help. Let's see. So Mike's saying, I still don't know what to call my ideal clients. Conscious entrepreneurs, artists, change makers, all don't quite work and seem overused. Yeah, this is the funny thing. There are a few thoughts I have about this. One, sometimes you have to make up a new term. Sometimes the term doesn't exist. And number two, some, you know, these umbrella terms are often more useful for us than they are in our marketing. Unless you come up with a term that people just hear and get and like, oh my God, that's me. Like they're inmates of Cubicle Nation. Some people get it. It's like, oh yeah, I work in an office and I do feel trapped. And it's like I'm an inmate in a jail. And so sometimes we can come up with a metaphor or a term that really does capture it for people, which can be great. And you know, in my experience, sometimes there's just no term for people. There's no way to sum it up. And so sometimes I have to be like, you know, I work with people who are into blank, 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 blank. You know, they're the kind of people that love going to Burning Man. They're really artistic and creative. Can't stand working a 9-to-5 job. They're polyamorous, et cetera. And people go, oh, yeah, okay, I get what you're talking about. So sometimes we just have to do a bit of a mosaic, I find, to give people that clear picture because there isn't a name necessarily. Though in that case, I'd probably just say burners, but yeah. So, Debbie, yeah, you don't have permission to give up. No chance. we're on you. There's no way. Simon, I hear you struggling with getting something that feels like it nails it exactly. Keep asking for help. Keep coming back to the mat, and we'll keep throwing you down. Eventually, we'll get something. That's hard. I get it. Francis is having questions around purchasing domain names, who to host the website and the blog. Yeah, WordPress, I agree. I would, from almost everybody, I'd just say go with WordPress. It's just kind of the main thing out there. It's one of the best, easiest things. There's so much out there, but get help. And for anyone who's struggling, when you start to struggle with these particular logistical things like website, blog, social media, ask for help. The amount of time you'll save by just hiring somebody or doing a trade with somebody or asking a friend versus trying to figure it out on your own, that's crazy. I would just even – sometimes I'll just on Facebook put out a call out. Hey, anyone in Edmonton know about this? What are the best resources? And you'd be surprised on the response you get when people start shouting out their opinions. So if you're feeling stuck and it's because you don't know how to do something – it's a really awesome time to ask for help. And again, you may be able to trade, or even if you can't trade them directly, they might know somebody who could use your help, and you could do a little triangular trade in that way. So good to notice where you're stuck. Jacqueline, this is such a great question. So not really stuck, but curious how one should balance the positive and painful aspects of a client's experience for the marketing pieces. Right, this is a really good question. Like, do you speak to Island A more? Do you speak to Island B more? Some people will say, well, speak to Island B because we don't want to be focusing on the negative. We don't want to reinforce those negative things, and we don't want to be manipulative. And here's my basic thought on it, is that I think it really depends on the nature of the journey. You know, for example, I'm really excited to go to Europe. Like in the next, like November, December, January, February, I want to do like a 3 or 4 month trip. For me, that's an Island B thing. But my Island A isn't that painful. I love Edmonton so much. In fact, part of me is like bummed to leave Edmonton for that long a period of time because I love it here. So it's not like Island A is painful. I mean, I suppose I could dig in and say, oh, I wish there was more old architecture and, I don't know, different kind of culture. But it's really more about Island B for me going there, yeah. But for some people, they're in so much pain, and it's, like, hard for them to even consider Island B because they're just so stuck on the pain. And they're, like, Island B, the most they can consider is, I just want to be out of pain. Like, I remember I had gallbladder issues, and I think I passed gallstones. It must have been what it was because for 3 or 4 times, it was, like, Tylenol 3s, the hottest bath I could possibly get into. That would cut my pain in half. And I remember when I was in that pain, I was delirious. You know, it was so excruciating. The only thing I wanted was just to be out of pain. And when the pain went away, just some of you, I hope you never have, but you may have experienced this, where just the absence of pain was the greatest thing you've ever felt. So, you know, so there are those two extremes. And I think it's just important. There's an empathy that's needed of where are they at. Because if they're stuck in their pain, you know, like while I was going through passing through gallstone, if somebody was like, come to my workshop on Radiant Health and Vitality, I just would have been like, fuck you, get out of my face. Like, I'm like so not there right now, you know. But if it was like, hey, I've got these things that can help you get out of pain, I just would have been like, tell me everything, I'm listening, et cetera. So I just think it's being empathetic to where they are and what's most real to them. If Island B is most real to them, then of course I would speak to that. Like, why would you speak to Island A? It would seem weird. But if Island A is most real to them, I just think it's like empathy before education, letting them know we really get it, that they're in pain, and sometimes just the absence of pain is all they can imagine. And so that's probably what we should speak to. And then as we get them out of pain, we can help them see further. But yeah, that's my thoughts. I'm really glad you asked that, because this comes up a lot in marketing. That's probably other people have other opinions. That's how I see it. And Brian, we're all just sending you so much love. So sorry for the loss of your wife. That's an incredibly huge transition to go through. And I know we're all just sending you the biggest hugs. Beth is saying, I'm redoing everything from day one. I feel closer to my big circle and my niche. Facing some very big fears, very excited. Now I just need to write. I would like feedback when I start posting my big circle, little circles. You bet. Oh, we're there. Totally. Kristen's saying, I'm not sure my writings have emotional resonance. That's a good question. That's a good thing to notice. I'm curious what you think that's about. Is it that you feel like, is it a writing skills thing that you feel like you're missing, or is it just that you feel like you're not really connected to those people? I'm curious what you would say is up there. So that's interesting. So Joy is just noticing she's doing a project that she's really excited about, but it wasn't a previous niche. This is interesting. So she says, I'm guessing I can work it backwards, starting with a workshop already in the works and discover my niche and big circle from it. That's great. Yeah. Oh, good. Totally. It's I'm just going to make a note of this because this is something that can really happen where, and I think it's probably actually one of the most reliable sources of a niche is to notice what are we already drawn to? What are we already excited about? What do we already talk about a lot? So when we did that, the cafe exercise of who are those people you'd love to be around? What would you be talking about? It's a similar way of getting at it. So yes, if you notice there's something you're drawn to and you're really attracted about, that will probably tell you a ton about your real niche. So work it backwards. Instead of starting with who do I want to work with, you might just notice I really want to do this thing. So what is it you want to do? How do you feel drawn to do it? And what can that tell you about your niche? And part of the way to do that can be, that can tell you about you, but it can also be like, okay, I'm drawn to doing this, and who would be drawn to that? Who would be a natural fit for this thing that I want to do? So you can start with the what or the who. It's great. Francis is wondering how my niche project will result in income. It's a really good question. We're going to be moving into that a bit next week. I'm going to be giving another wrinkle on the homework, which hopefully will help. But I'll put it out right now, though it's not a required thing at this moment. When you do your niche project, a really important thing to start considering is what comes next. So you do this niche project, and if it goes well, what's the next step for those people? And thinking about the sales funnel, thinking about what's further down the cone. This is where reading George Cao, the interview with him, or George Wong, rather, I think is a really great thing to do, because he really thought through that sales funnel. Because it's so interesting. Like, he did the free talks, right, to a free coaching call and then offered a package. But if he hadn't offered the package, all of that would have been a huge waste of time and drain on his income. So, yeah, Josh just feeling scared. Yep. I hear you. Keep going. It sounds like you're on track if you're feeling nervous. And, you know, for all of us, I would say if you feel scared, to me, what that's a sign of is that you're not prepared or you don't feel like you're prepared. So whenever you're feeling scared, I would just also ask yourself, where don't I feel prepared for all of this? And then what do I need to get prepared? What additional support and resources do I need? Yeah, and pets, you're saying this feeling of nervousness, like, okay, I'm doing something cool, but will I keep it going? You know, maybe I won't make it happen. And all of these things that Petra, I mean, I would just reflect that back because that's probably the exact same fear that your niche has. You know, like in the little circle you talked about with the tendonitis, you know, I think it was in the, you know, carpal tunnel and people who sit at their desk, you know, typing all the time. You know, a lot of them are probably in pain and yet feeling like, God, do I have what it takes to make it happen to deal with this issue? And maybe I don't. Maybe I'll be stuck with this for the rest of my life. So that's probably what your clients are dealing with too. So I would use that as information of something that could be really useful for the way you relate to your clients and structure your offers. Oh, and Yvonne, yeah, I hear you struggling with, you've got that big vision and how do you put it in the right words? That's just such a big process. Yeah. You know, I think one of the benefits of a group like this is the fact that we can have other people reflecting and questioning and helping us pull it apart and put it back together. And yeah, I wish there was some sort of short way to do it. But yeah, it can take time. It can take years, I think, sometimes for us to really figure out the right words. I think that's natural. So I feel like you're on track and all you can do is all you can do. Keep on keeping on. So Mary is saying something's blocking me from sending info out about what I'm planning to my email list, yet feel I really need to start doing this now to get feedback if people want it. I think I'm afraid for my ideas to be seen in case I can't deliver and carry through. So that's great. So one thing I might suggest, Mary, is, and I'm not sure if this is different than what you were thinking of doing, but the possibility of sending it out saying, and just articulating that, it's like, you know, I'm not sure I'm committed to this, but this is an idea I've had. This is where I'm at with it, and I would really love to have your feedback on it. I'd love to get your thoughts to see if it's even viable, to see if it's even something I should be giving my attention to. So instead of putting out as like, here's the project that's going to happen, more putting it out as like, I'd love your feedback to help me figure out if this is viable. I bet you'd be delighted with some of the responses you'd get. So. Yeah, Kenton's just feeling stuck with everything. There's so much to learn from the workbooks and links within them and the website. And yeah, this is why marketing people get paid the big bucks. Totally. Yeah, there's a whole new language to learn. So if you feel daunted by this, anyone, that's legit in my mind because there's so much to learn. It's a whole other world. You are simultaneously working on your business while learning a whole new, it would be like, I think it was like if I threw you over to Spain or some country where you didn't know the language and you had to build your business while learning Spanish at the same time. That is a lot to do. So marketing, this language of niching and little circles, big circles, and even how to speak in a marketing way of speaking to the experience of the people instead of just talking about our boat. it is a whole other way of thinking. It's a whole other language. And so it is trying to do two things at once. So, yeah, understandably, it's a lot. And it gets easier, is the thing I'd say. The more you do this, the easier it gets. And until it becomes second nature. And, then, you know, it's like riding a bike. Cool. Debbie's realizing she may need to connect more with people who are have a similar little circle type focus. Yes, yes, yes. Do that for sure. Make lists of those people. Reach out to them. You know, there are two kinds of supports that you can get in a way. There's support of people who kind of are in your niche, in your target market, and who can give you direct feedback from within that. But then it can also be useful to get feedback from people outside of your little circle who are from totally different industries, totally different scenes, because they will ask you the kind of the stupid questions, you know, that everyone else wouldn't even think to ask, which can help a lot. Let's see what else is there. So Marilyn was saying, having a marketable idea. I can do lots of marketable stuff. My heart seems to go out on a limb for things that may not be so popular. So the thing, the question is, maybe they would be popular and nobody's doing it, and you don't know because you haven't tried. So sometimes that's where a niche project is the perfect thing to do in a small way. Test it out. See, because sometimes people are like, oh, nobody would go for this, and then there's this huge response. So you might be wrong. But yeah, it is this question in marketing of like, there's the artist side of us that just wants to do whatever we want to do in the way that we want to do it, regardless of whether, you know, it's fulfilling for other people, because it's not about other people, it's about us as an artist. And then there's the business side that's all kind of cynically about, you know, what do other people want? And there's this dance of doing things that are fulfilling for us, but also we're going to work for other people. Yeah, and ideally we can find that marriage between the two. So, Yvonne. Oh, this is Yvonne said, oh man, I looked up elder, I'm assuming in the dictionary, and its definition is pretty far from what I think of. Back to the drawing board with that. Or, Yvonne, you could redefine it. You could say, you know, the dictionary says this, and I want to propose a totally different definition of elder. You know, Michael Mead talks about the difference between olders and elders. So I wouldn't be afraid for all of you to totally redefine words and reclaim them and what they mean. That can be really powerful. So, Yvonne, I would say the thing I'd love to see from you is, how would you define elder? What's the meaning and definition of that word that has inspired you so far? And what's the one that has you want to, you know, draw others out into eldership? Like, what is that about for you? So Joy is saying, I'm being challenged with how to take everything I'm learning here and updating my website. Yeah, good question, right? How do you take all of this and actually translate into your website? In terms of your the niche thing and translating into the website, there are a few places that can show up. There's your homepage. There's you can have the About You page, or Who Is This For page, where you really articulate who you're trying to reach. And that could be where you put your letter or some form of your big circle letter, or just you write up in the big circle the story of your ideal client. Any of those could go on the Who It's For, or just your general big circle description, whatever format, you know, sort of makes the most sense for you. But the and the other one is going to be in the let me find this here. The the homepage is going to be one of the main things, and the best resource I know of for your homepage, and I just recommend everybody buy this and use it, is called I'll just put a new separate comment for it. That's called How to Write a Lovable Homepage by Carrie Klassen from Pink Elephant Communications, and it takes everything we're working on and turns it into a homepage. How to write a lovable. Just so super brilliant. So I'm just posting that up for you all to see, because this is one of those things that this is sort of beyond the niche project. This is when you really decide this is a big circle I want to work with, but it's gorgeous. It's the best thing ever. All right, I just want to make sure I'm getting everybody. And everyone, at any point, if you're wanting comments from me, please just tag me in your comments, and I'll do my best. Sometimes I miss it, but if you don't feel very good about bugging me as many times as it takes, I'm sorry if I don't catch it right away. So yeah, Marilyn, so you're saying I've struggled with the working from the wound point of view and the part of me that just wants to go into the joy and mystery of being alive and work with people who are open beyond the five senses. I would also trust that. I mean, the wound thing seems to be the most consistent, and it may be different for you. There's so many different ways to get into the niche. That's just the best one I found. But there's also just, what are your gifts? Yeah, what are you drawn to? This may be this kind of artist side of you that wants to create something. So I would give, and for everybody, also just give yourself free rein to think, what is it I want to give to the world? What's the gift that I want to give? And then you can really work back and think, okay, now that I'm clear about what that gift is, who would be interested in it? And you might be shocked to find there's a whole group of people or a number of groups of people that might be interested in it. So if you're feeling stuck in terms of the wound thing and trying to figure out the who, sometimes you need to go to the what. What do I want to create most, and then who would be interested in that? Yvonne, in terms of wordsmithing, I would say get it down and then fine-tune it. Because maybe part of your work is even beyond just in this class, maybe it seems like part of your work might be actually redefining what it means to be an elder. So that might be right in your little circle, in a way, in the write-up of I help people redefine what it means to be an elder in the world. So that people know you're challenging that definition could be interesting and engaging. Autumn, in terms of which part of the sales funnel I ask support for, let's just stick with the one niche projects at this point. Because and I'm asking everyone again to pick one little circle, one project to get feedback on, because there's a lot of us, and if everyone posted two or three, it would seriously get out of control. So just the one. And individually with your buddies and all that, you can individually message each other with more, but for this group, let's just keep it focused. The empathy and education balance was helpful. Do you have a blog post about it? The Island A blog post, I'll post this for anyone who's interested in this. It's in your workbook, but this is probably one of the best summaries I have about that. So if that whole idea of, empathy before education, if that felt relevant, here's the, I'll post that up. Yeah, if you haven't read that, everyone, I would definitely read it because it's such an important topic. Okay, so let's see if there's anything else. Okay. Awesome. I think that's it. I'm just going to refresh the page. Nobody left behind. Let's see what else. Yeah. Okay. So Yolanda, in terms of the package thing, at this point we're just focused on one little tiny niche project. And then we do want to think what's next, what's beyond that. But for now, let's just stay focused on the niche project. Okay, awesome, everybody. Hooray. Okay. Oh, yeah. And the whole, you know, Marilyn, you were asking about the feeling stuck in terms of working from the wound. This is maybe, again, that island A and island B thing that for some people they're in so much pain. This might actually be interesting for me to think about, too, in terms of how we figure out our niche. Because the wound thing is probably really good when people are more aware of island A. But sometimes, again, the island B craving is just so strong. It's more than the pain. And so that might be another way to consider what the niche is. That's I guess, slightly different than the wound, hey? Because the wound is more like a place we feel stuck, whereas the island B is what we're craving. So, yeah, so I'd be interested in everybody's thoughts about that. Because I think there probably is something in there about how you figure out your niche through island B. See, we're all learning. So great. I'm just going to make a note for myself. So much to learn. Okay, so let's stop that there. Thank you, everyone, for sharing where you're at. Next. Okay, so now we're going to do a little work party. And I'm going to invite everyone, if you have not put your niche project up, put it up if you can. You may not feel ready. If you can put it up, this is your time. You can actually type it up right now and put it up on the group for feedback. If you're already done and you feel great about it, it's like already a 10 for you. Just give feedback to other people. If you've already put it up and it's not a 10, what I'm going to invite you to do, and I'd really, even if it feels like a 10, what I want to ask you to do is think about what could you add to your niche project or take away from it that would make it even more attractive to both you and your potential clients. Yeah? What could you, so I'll post this, but you don't comment below. But what could you either add to or take away from your niche project that would make it even more attractive to you and to your clients? What would make it even better? And I'll just give an example because I was reading Petros and he was talking about working with people around the tendonitis and arm issues, you know, they're typing all day, and booking them into a series of 10 sessions, which is brilliant. The whole idea of offering a package is so huge because instead of selling one ice cream cone after another, you're selling them a whole ice cream cake, so much less work, ultimately so much more effective in getting the result with people, et cetera. And it just had me wonder, like, what else could you add to it? That in his case of working with these office workers whose arms are so sore and they need relief, there are computer programs that help you take breaks and encourage you to just like stop working, show you stretches like rsiguard.com. Amazing. He could become an affiliate for that and package that in, make money from that or sell that. There might be a book that he would really recommend, certain essential oils, passes to yoga classes, dietary recommendations. There might be a whole kind of package, almost like a gift basket that he could put together. There might be a gold, silver, and bronze. You know, the basic is just a series of 10, but there may be other things that could be added to it that would make that package even more attractive, make, you know, et cetera. So the niche project was just the going to the farmer's market and offering massages there. And I suggested that he put up a sign. If he really wants to attract these office workers, for him to put up a sign saying, hey, attention, office workers with sore arms, you know, sit here, something like that. So, but then even then, it's like, what could he do to make that 15-minute chair massage that they get even better? What can you do to make it even hotter, even better, even cooler? So the format, I emailed out the format to you for the niche project to put it in, and I will, let me find that and I'll tag it so you can all see it. Okay, so it's called the file is called the Niche Project 140 Challenge, and I'll post this on the main page and pin it so it's on the top. Oops. So there's the format on the top, so you can take a look at that. So, yeah, so I want to take 15 or 20 minutes right now while we're on the phone to be working on each other's stuff. I'll be giving feedback and commenting, give feedback and comment on each other's stuff. If there are any questions, just maybe post it under that, the homework. Debbie is saying, so let's say you charge $100 per session. What would you suggest for a package of 5 or 10? Not sure what the discount should be. I would question whether you even need to discount it. It could be that you also add bonuses in. It might just be that they're getting it booked and scheduled. I tend not to want to offer huge discounts, but you could. I don't know, 10 to 20%, something like that, to encourage them to sign up. But you also may not need to. I know lots of people have built really thriving businesses without offering any discounts. So, just make sure it really feels good to you to be doing that. Another option is that you raise your rates, your base rates, because it depends too. Some people don't mind doing individual sessions, but some people, it's kind of frustrating because like, man, I really want to see people for multiple sessions. That's what they really need. So you might raise your rates for an individual session and be like, look, I'd rather not just see people for an individual session. I charge more for that. And if you want to book packages, it's less, just so that it sort of incentivizes people in the right direction. And then it's like, at least you're getting paid more for doing work that's not quite as fulfilling and meaningful if they just want the individual. So that's a thought with that, Debbie. So Autumn is saying, if we haven't decided which niche project to go with and post it, should we do that first? Yes, take time to, and so if you haven't decided which one, you may not want to do it during this call, you might do it after, you can just go give other people feedback. Cool. All right, so yeah, let's take 15. Or 20 minutes right now just to be doing feedback on each other's niche projects or put your niche project up and go. These are great comments, everybody. Keep them coming. It's really good. Okay, about 10 more minutes. Keep it going. 10 more minutes. Five more minutes. Keep it going. Hey everyone, let's take 5 more minutes. People seem to really be on a roll, and I'm really loving reading everyone's niche project. So let's take 5 more minutes, and I'll give you the sort of next step homework at the end of the call. So, yeah, let's take another 5. You're doing great. Okay, everybody. Man, holy crow. So many incredible niche projects. These are all so badass. I love it. So the homework for this week is really pretty simple. It's to keep going on this. A couple things. One is to get your little circle to an 8 or above. That's really important. Keep refining your little circle. Keep asking for support. Tag me if you need support. And then keep working on your niche project. Make sure it's an 8 or above. And keep refining it. See if you can make it even more exciting. There's the danger of course, making it so big and unwieldy that it's suddenly become a huge project and a whole business. But keep working it until you're just so excited about it, because these projects are like gifts that we're giving to the world. And there's something so wonderful about taking the time to really make this gift and craft it. You know, it's like cooking a dish for somebody when you put so much attention in it, it just comes out perfect. Or you make something by hand, you write a card or a letter, and you really take your time, and you're just so proud of it that you can't wait to share it and you can't wait to give it. But then also there's wrapping that makes a big difference when we're really proud of how we've wrapped it, you know. That when we wrap a present really beautifully, suddenly we're even more excited. And the wrapping is like the marketing and the name of it, what we call it. How we present it and sort of what's on the surface. So that's really your homework. Keep refining the little circle. Keep working on the niche project. Next week, we're going to be getting into, hopefully we'll pretty much all have a niche project by then, fingers crossed. And then we're going to look at hubs and how do you promote this? How do you actually spread the word about it and get people showing up? So that's my thoughts in terms of the next call. You guys are doing great. This is all super amazing. I'm going to be sticking around for a little bit to put some more comments in here and until I've got everybody. Thank you all so much. I'm so glad we have 2 more weeks together. It's going to be so exciting. Your niche projects are just looking amazing. And if you're feeling stuck, again, reach out for help. Ask for support from your buddy, from the group. We're here for you. We got your back. And we will see you next week.
The moderator has left the conference.